beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Yes, what has God done for me? You know, he's delivered me and set me free in many ways. And he's doing more and more all the time. Now, Pastor Nelson, they had got one of these whiteboards. And he said, it's a game changer. Okay, so we have one of these whiteboards too. Preston helped me to actually build the frame for it. So bear with me. There's some things they got to figure out logistically. Going to roll this out here. Now, see, I'm a pastor's kid, so God's enlightened me with a lot of great wisdom, and I'm gonna map out God's master plan here for you, and in 25 beautiful steps, should take till 3 o'clock, maybe 4 o'clock this afternoon. I hope you brought lunch. Okay, well, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, but yeah, is this a good place for it? Is it look? You think you can read it? Hopefully I got some markers here that, we got markers right there hidden back here. That's so the kids don't see them and come up and start writing all over the place. Now I got this microphone. Oh, hold on. Y'all hear that? Taking the top off here. Okay. Now I got this cap in my hand. Which is a microphone, which is a marker? Hold on, I got it. Okay. Logistics, okay. And now I got the pulpits back there, and I'm up here. Ah, yeah, let's do that. I'll have a little table out here so I can. Are you ready for school? How many of y'all had one of these in school? You probably had, maybe some of you had chalkboards. The only problem with chalkboards is they get dust all over everything. That's not very pretty. Okay, so what was I saying? God's, can you read that? God's master plan for your life. Oh, I can't even spell. Uh-oh, that's the problem when you can't spell. Okay, so now we got this. Eraser here, so I think I need an eraser in one hand, but then I got microphone. Okay, logistics. Ooh, I like that A. That's much better than my A. I think you know God's master plan better than I do. Okay, so God's master plan for your life. Well, there's all kinds of things that you can do to be pleasing to God and according to God's master plan. Let's start out with a good foundation. We've got, let's see if I can get this marker right. Oh, everybody needs to pray. Everybody, you agree? Everybody needs to pray. Pray without ceasing. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing and everything give thanks. Because it's the will of God for you, right? So, that, yeah, we need to pray. Let me look at my notes, because I got quite a lengthy list here. And maybe we won't go through every single one of them. Oh, here we go. Oh, definitely devotional. Devotions. All right, yeah, everybody's got to do devotions. You got to spend at least 15 minutes with God every single day. I mean, that's how you can know God, right? If you read your Bible. Oh, yeah, read your Bible. Let's just put Bible here. Got to read your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you won't know what you don't know, which is, you know, all about God. So if you want to know about God, God's master plan, you got to read your Bible. Of course, now, through the ages, not everybody had a Bible. And not everybody can actually read, so. But you know what? You can listen to good gospel teaching. Listen. Oh, you got to spell it right, too. L-I-S-S-T-E-N. Listen to gospel. Oh, gospel. That's another thing. Gospel music. You got to have good gospel music in your life. You got to fill yourself with praise and worship. So let's see. Let's put worship over here. Worship. I can spell. Worship. Okay, yeah, that's another one. Worship. Oh, you know what else we have to do? We need to fellowship. That's what we're doing here, right? Church. Fellowship. Instead of writing that all out, I'm just going to write church, okay? Is that all right? Church. I can spell church. Okay, this is God's master plan for you. If you don't have church, you know, how are you going to bear one another's burdens unless you're together? You got to actually be together. Okay, now you realize that this is all good advice, right? And a lot of this I got at church. Okay, so you got to have church. Very important. So you can know good and evil and all that kind of stuff. I know one. We just did it. And it was part of our worship, but it is, oh. We got to do, oh. I think I'm dyslexic. I mean, dyslexic. Okay, anybody who is just got that one. Tithe. Did I spell that right? Tithe. Okay, got to do that. You know, that's part of giving back to God. Well, everything belongs to him anyway, right? Everything you are is God's, man. He made us. He's the one who gives us the power to get wealth and to provide for our families. It's God, tithe. So, oh, and not just tithing. God's given us, he's blessed us with so many blessings. We need to give back. Give. Yeah, we need to give beyond just tithing what will support the church. We need to give, and what's God going to do? He's going to give back to us, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, right? So we got to give, yeah, and God will give back, right? What I'm talking about is knowing not just God's master plan, but I want to know God. I want to know the big guy, okay? And doing all these things, maybe that's helping along the way. I hope it's helping along the way because I've been trying to do these things all my life. Another thing, and several of us have been doing this, is I know missions. Now, I know some of us, you know, we give to missions. But God wants us to go. Doesn't he want us to go out into all the world, preach the gospel? Oh, that's another one. We got to preach the gospel. We got to make disciples. Man, the list just keeps going on and on and on. All these things are part of God's master plan for every one of us. And we've taught on just about any number of these throughout over the years. All these things that we need to be doing as believers, right? Do you agree we need to be doing these things? Knowing God. And not only knowing God, but being known by God. Brother Steve, have that scripture passage? He needs a mic. He can use mine. He's got a mic. He's prepared like the Boy Scouts.
Amen. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity.
Now, I remember when I first heard this scripture, Matthew 7, starting at verse 21. I remember one of the first times that I heard it and it connected with my brain, what it was saying. He's talking about a church person. He's talking about godly people. We're talking about people who, in verse 21, if we could flip back there, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Well, God's got lots of things that he wants us to do, right? We need to listen to the gospel. We need to read our Bibles. We need to have devotions. We need to pray, worship, need to fellowship, tithe, give, support missions, be on the mission. These are all things that we need to do. And the people that he's referring to, they've been doing these things. They've been doing a lot of this stuff. Have we not prophesied in your name? That would even imply that God's Spirit was on them and they were speaking prophetically. And we're not talking false prophets. We're talking people speaking things and things coming to be. These are people that God is using in great and powerful ways. Maybe you're somebody who God is using in great and powerful ways wherever you are. Maybe God's using you in great and powerful ways. They cast out demons. Now, there were some people, the sons of Sceva, tried to cast out demons in Jesus' name, and it didn't work out so good for them. They got beat up because of the demon and the person that they were trying to cast the devil out. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, whom Paul preaches. Who are you? And they got beat up. So, here these people are casting out devils. So, wow, they know Jesus. You know, they're part of the troop. They went out and they preached the gospel. Repentance for the remission of sins. Be baptized. They were doing this. They were out. They were probably those, they were even baptizing in the name of Jesus. But it gets to verse 23, and it says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay. These are God's people, and they practice lawlessness in some way. So, you know, I read these verses, and I was scratching my head. What's going on? These guys look like they got it together. They're prophesying. They're casting out devils. The devils aren't beating them up. What's going on? These people obviously knew God. They were part of the troop, out doing ministry with God in the church, reaching out, being God's hands and feet to people. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's what I want to be. I want to be God's hands and feet. I want to be doing the works of God. And there was a point in my life, it was a very dark point, and in many ways I had turned away from God. And I couldn't hear from God very well. I could pick up a Bible and read and hear from God, but not very well. I wasn't doing good. And the only thing I knew to do was these basic things. Pray. The only way I could get back up and get right with God was to pray, to repent, turn from my sin, to start spending time focusing on God, reading my Bible, going to church, making sure I was giving properly. Those are the basics, and they'll push you, they'll get you going in the right direction. But that's not what saves you. The only thing that will save you is what Jesus did for you. Not all the things that you can do for him, but what he did for you. His blood on the cross to pay for your sin. So you can be doing in the church, ministering in the church. But it could come a point you get before God in heaven. And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. You just been doing. There's a difference in knowing God and being known by God. Him knowing you. Now, God knows everything, and he knows everyone, but there's a subtle difference. In God knowing you, does he have fellowship with you? When you wake up in the morning, are you right there at God's feet? When he looks, oh, there he is. He's right there. Are you in the presence of God all the time? To where every time he looks, there you are. Known by God. Why? Because you're right there. You're right there at his feet constantly. In his presence, seeking him for everything that you are and everything that you do. To be known by God. I'm going to read a passage. There's a lot of people used by God in great and powerful ways. Here's a passage about someone who is used by God in a mighty way. It says, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. That sounds pretty awesome, huh? Wouldn't you want to be used by God so that his name is proclaimed all over the whole world and all the earth? I'm like, yeah. I want to be that guy who's used by God like that in a great and powerful way. That scripture is Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh was used by God. And I want to be used by God, but guess what? Pharaoh's heart was hardened against God. That's why God could use him and show great and mighty, powerful things. So do you. Judas was used by God to bring the crucifixion of our Savior. Judas was used by God. Do I want to be like Judas and betray God? You can be used by God. You can do all the right things and still miss it and still not be known by God. Pharaoh didn't really know God. God definitely didn't know him. He didn't look down, and there's Pharaoh looking to him. Pharaoh was like, I don't want to have anything to do with that guy. I don't want to have anything to do with your God. He had his hand out and he said no to what God was telling him. Are you standing there with your hand out saying no, God, don't have that place in my life. You're not allowed there. Okay, I'll do all these things, but that one thing, that one place in my life, don't touch that. Don't touch that, God. You see, by having that area in your life, you're not allowing him to know you in the deepest depths of your life. By holding that secret sin, whatever it may be, you're not allowing him in. Now, I've had secret sins in my life, and I've had to open my hand and say, I'm sorry, God. Here, please take it. I need you to take it. I can't live with that. Because what that secret sin does is it prevents us from knowing God and having communication with him and him knowing us in every way he can. Acts 17, verse 24. God, who has made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. God doesn't need us to do anything for him. He's God. He spoke this earth into existence from nothing. He needs nothing from us. So why do these things? Why would we do all these things? He doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need us to praise him. He's God. He doesn't need us to praise him. His ego isn't so weak that he needs anybody to praise him. He knows who he is. He doesn't need us. There's a popular song, in fact, Amy's sung it here before. It says, God, you don't need me, but you still want me. God does. He wants us. We need him. We need God. First John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Okay, I'm not telling you not to do these things. It would be a mistake if you didn't do these things. But why? Why do we do it? Why do we live for Jesus? Why do we do these things? Simply because he's that awesome. God is that awesome. He loved us. Even while we were sinners, he loved us and laid down his life for us, for each and every one of us. He loves you. He desires that relationship. He doesn't want to turn anyone away at the final day. He doesn't want to turn anyone away, but he will. We need him. He doesn't need us, but he wants us, and he loves us. Why do we do this? Because he's that awesome, and I want people to know that he's that awesome. I want people to know the love of Jesus, that he has mercy, and he will forgive. He will redeem. He will make your life new. He wants to give you his spirit, to give you the power to have victory in your life. He doesn't want to see your life trashed. He wants to use you. I was going to share Matthew 25, 1 through 13. That talks about the 10 virgins. There were foolish ones. There were wise ones. The wise ones were prepared. They had the oil they needed to wait for their coming bridegroom. But the interesting thing about that story is that some of the virgins, well, all of the virgins fell asleep, every one of them. But there came a point when they had to wake up. And that's at the point where we are. We need to wake up and be ready for Jesus. We need to be ready for that day. We need to be watching. A little bit after that story in Matthew about the 10 virgins, it comes down to the disciples. Matthew 26, 40. He was waiting in the garden to go. He was waiting to go to the cross. It was about the time that Jesus was going to go to the cross. And he took Peter, James and John, and said, come on, let's go. Please wait up with me. Watch with me. Because my hour has come. And he came to him and he found him sleeping, and this happened several times. Jesus told Peter that eventually Peter was going to end up denying him. Well, this was kind of the on the way to that, they fell asleep. Instead of watching and being ready, they fell asleep. Jesus comes to him, and he sees him sleeping, and he says to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, Peter hadn't been regenerated at that point. The Holy Spirit hadn't been breathed into him. So don't be too hard on Peter. The neat thing is Jesus knew that Peter was going to do what he did. He knew that he was going to betray him. But he made provision for him. He said, I know you're going to betray me, but afterward I want you to feed my sheep. And then later when he met back up with Peter, he gave him that call to feed my sheep. Maybe you've fallen asleep. I know if I was listening to my voice, it might put me to sleep. In fact, that'd probably be good therapy, is to listen to a few of my sermons to get to sleep at night, because I have that kind of voice sometimes. I can put myself to sleep. Maybe you find yourself falling asleep. You haven't been watching. But it's not too late. God wants to use you. The time is now to be used by God in this world. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to God. You were created to do his work, to do these things, to reach out to the poor, to reach out to those who are lost and broken. You were created to do that. Through his love, you were created to do that. And God does what he wants to use you. Ephesians 2:10, it tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which have been prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. We were created to serve him. Our acts of worship are whatever it is he's called us to do in life. When I go to Wolfcraft and I'm running a CNC machine and it's cutting out parts, that is an act of praise to God. The sound of that machine is praise going up to God before God. Hopefully that's pleasing in his sight, that I'm doing what God's called me to do, that I'm doing what he's telling me to do. An act of praise. Why do I do that? Just because I need a paycheck to support my family? No, I want to do it as an act of love to him, back to him. Because he loved me first. Whatever I do, I want to bless him. To be known by God is the desire of my heart. And I hope it's the desire of yours. What does it mean to be known by God? We are his workmanship, created for good works. I brought a little illustration. Some of you recognize this. It's a tool. It's one of my favorite tools, by the way. To be known by God is to be a tool in his hand to do his work. Does he know you? Does he use you to do his work? Now, this is a really nice drill. It's got auto sense. That means if I'm drilling and I'm drilling in a screw and it starts getting in there, it'll actually stop before it goes right through the board that I'm trying to drill the screw into. Or I have a drill setting. If I just want a hole, it'll go right in and it just keep going. Even if it hits some metal or something back there, and then I hit the power line behind it and get zapped, it'll just keep on going. My point is, though, I'm not really a handyman, but it's a tool. This is one of my favorite tools. I know this tool. I use it all the time. And all the different things I do. Does God know you? Does he use you all the time? Are you known by God? Are you part of his plan? Are you part of his purpose? Are you used in his work? Whose hand is on the tool? This is my tool. I know this tool. This is mine. I know what it looks like. This is my tool. It's in my hand. I know this tool. Are you in God's hand? Does he know you? Does he use you? Or are you out there doing it by yourself? Do you have the hand on yourself? Doing your own thing? If it's just you out there doing it, I'm sorry, but God doesn't know you. If you're trying to do it on your own, God doesn't know you because it's not God's hand engaged on your life. Are you known by God? Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let God use you as his perfectly crafted tool for the place that he's put you in. Amen. Good. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, to be known by you, to know you and to be known by you, to be a precious instrument in your hand to do your work, Lord God. Help us. Help us to find that. Help us to be that, Lord God. This week, as we're out in the world that you put us in, Lord God, give us your eyes. Open our eyes to see what you see, to do what you want us to do, Lord. Help us to be sensitive. Most of all, help us to do it in your love, because you're that awesome and you first loved us. Amen.